Well, we appreciate the Lord's faithfulness and goodness to us. I'd like to look at some verses this morning in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. And I'd like to start at verse 13. No, I want to start at verse 8. This is the chapter of faith, and it mentions how faith brought action and works into the lives of people: Abel, Enoch, Noah. And we'll read about Abraham here. In verse 8 it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." I want to drop down now to verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Later on it mentions about Moses making a choice, a decision, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy. But it says, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And these scriptures, it talks about being a pilgrim and a stranger. They were looking for something more than what earth by itself could provide for them. And it said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises," or I'd say the fullness of the promises that came through Christ, "but they seen them afar off." Jesus mentioned about Abraham. He said, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced." He saw beyond something further up ahead, and it caused his heart to rejoice. And we know that God promised that through the seed of Abraham that all the nations of the world would be blessed. And we know that that was Jesus that came into the world. But they were persuaded of the promises. They believed the promises of God. They were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. I like that, how that's worded. They were persuaded, and they embraced the promises of God. And that's what we want to do today. We want to be persuaded in our hearts, in our minds, of the promises that the Lord has made. And it causes, it helps us to recognize that we're just strangers here. We're just pilgrims here that are passing. This isn't, I guess what I'm trying to say, this isn't home. This isn't our final destination. There's something that God has prepared for us. We don't want to get too rooted down and too attached to this world, the things of this life, that we fail to keep heaven in view, that we fail to recognize that God has something much more better for us. They were persuaded and they embraced them, and it affected their lives. It affected how they lived. And I think about how God called Abraham to leave his country. He left his home. He left his family because God was talking to him and calling him. I'm sure it was probably pretty comfortable and didn't really know. It said he really didn't know whither he was going, but God had promised him something and it caused him to leave. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim, he felt a call on his life to leave the city of destruction. He left, he plugged his ears, he cried out, "Life, life, eternal life." He left the world. He left. Now this helps us to rightly divide. We're of the world. No, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to deal with the world, and yet there's something deeper, something that God has given to us that goes far beyond what this world has to offer. And they were persuaded of the promises, they embraced them, and it affected the way they lived their lives. And Pilgrim, he fled the spirit, the destruction, the spirit of this world. That's what becomes evil, is the spirit of this world. And Jesus talked about the world. He said it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the evil that's in the world today, and that's what we have to flee from. That's what we want to escape, is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those are the things that we want to flee from and to be separated from, because we're seeking a heavenly country. We're seeking a heavenly city. We're seeking a place that is to come that God has promised to us. There's another verse in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 11. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Abstain from fleshly lust. Now I want to mention there are some things in the Scriptures that are just totally off limits. They're off limits. They're out of bounds. You can't do them and maintain a relationship with the Lord. You can't imbibe and practice and maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're off limits. There's Scriptures. But there's also this word, I believe, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. There is also the thought that Jesus talked about. He mentioned to the Pharisees and the scribe in one time, said that they were filled with iniquity, and he said, he used the word excess. Excess. Excess also takes us out of bounds. It's too much. And Lord, help us today. We need the Lord to show us and to teach us and to help us to understand. You know, when they play sports, they've got a field. Basketball court, it's got lines. A football field has got lines. Tennis courts, they have lines. And it's out of bounds. You go out of bounds, you're beyond, you're out of the game. You're beyond what is intended and what is purposed. We need the Lord to help us. He said, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. As a pilgrim and stranger, knowing that we're just passing through, knowing that we're going to have to give an account to God at the end of our days, that we abstain from those things that war against our soul and would bring us into trouble and difficulty. But it's excess. Lord, help us to live in temperance. Help us to be temperate in our lives. To be moderate. Moderation. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. We want to be balanced. We want to be temperate. We want to be within bounds that God has called us to be. I want to look at Acts, the 7th chapter. He gives an account here. Acts, the 7th chapter. In verse 54, this is Stephen preaching. It says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." You know what that gnashing of teeth is? Jesus talked to one place about weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's accusing. It's anger, vehemence. It's cursing. It's all those things. Gnashing of teeth. And that's what the people did to Stone when they took Stephen. They gnashed on him. They were accusing him with anger, with bitterness, with cursing. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.'" Isn't that wonderful? Stephen being gnashed on, being accused. In his last hours, he said, "I saw the heavens open." I believe that encouraged Stephen's heart. I believe that helped him. "They cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God." Stephen was calling upon the Lord. What a beautiful... He wasn't retaliating. He wasn't cursing back. He was a stranger and a pilgrim. He wasn't of this world. He had the Holy Spirit in his life that brought a different fruit out of his heart, out of his life. He wasn't of this world. He was separate from this world. "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice and cried, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." I'm thankful today that we have revelations. There's a verse that talks about, it says, light and immortality has been brought to light through the gospel. In the Old Testament, we just had small glimpses that were hard to see, hard to perceive. Job, in one place, he said, "Though worms destroy my body and my flesh, will I see God." Just little places like that in the Old Testament that help us to recognize that there is something more to life than just this life. There's something more, something deeper, something more meaningful. Paul, in one place, he said, "If it's only in this life, if it's just all right here, we are all men most miserable." But there's something more. There's something above and beyond. There's a heavenly country that we're living for. That's what we're living for. That's what we're aiming at. That's why we want to keep our eyes. And I think, God, how Stephen looked up. He looked up and the heavens were open to him. I don't believe everybody there saw that day. But it was opened up to Stephen. And it was revealed that the Lord was there standing up for him in his trying hour. I'm thankful today that the heavens are there for us today. And we're strangers, we're pilgrims in this life. I want to get another passage. I remember, I want to tell just a... Well, let's go to Revelations, the 21st chapter. I can't say how it's all going to be. It's kind of almost like Abraham going to a land that he didn't really know what he was going to. He was looking for a city, but he didn't really understand what all that entailed, and that's kind of the way it is for us, really. But I want to look at Revelations 21 and 1, and it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? When you see a young bride that's prepared herself and innocent and starting to give her life. He said, "I saw John, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." That stood out to me. Every place... Street. It talks about streets of gold. I don't know how it's going to be. Gold is a very precious substance to us here on earth. It's something that's very valuable. Was he depicting to the human mind? Every place it talks about dwelling with God sounds so much better than what we have here. Actually, this place wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for sin. The earth is beautiful. What the Lord has made is a wonderful thing. The Garden of Eden, I'm sure, was a blessed place. And God didn't create death. It seemed like death came when man sinned. He didn't create man with the intention of him dying. But we sinned and we die. And the Lord has promised us another city, a heavenly home, a place. And we are strangers and pilgrims here. And we want to keep that in our hearts and our minds. Oh, pilgrim of Jesus, how's it go? It talks about ever keep heaven in view. What number? 213. Thank you. Pilgrim of Jesus or life's troubled sea, we're going to have some troubles down here. Courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, that last verse, that Eden above long has been waiting for you, and soon thou shalt reach thy fair mansion of love. Ever keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view. Courage, my brother, right onward pursue. Ever keep heaven in view. We want to do that this morning. We want to remember that God has a place for us, and we want to continue to follow. We believe this morning the promises. We embrace the promises, and it affects our lives. It affects how we live our life. Another verse I want to get is 1 Thessalonians. And these scriptures are wonderful to me. I just, the way they're written and how God revealed these things. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Now this word believe is not just the head knowledge. It's not just knowledge in the brain. But it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." It's a belief where we We come to the place where we believe and we open our hearts to God. We seek the Lord just like Stephen was doing. He was seeking and calling upon God. That's the belief, and it affects our life. This belief is what brings about the new birth. It's what causes a change in our life. It's what causes a transformation where the Lord takes the old heart out, the stony heart, and He puts us a new heart which has new desires. Well, we don't want to do the sinful things that we one time did. It brings a transformation and a change in our life. That's the belief that it's talking about. If we believe that Jesus died, we've opened our hearts to Him, and we've lived for Him, and we've served Him, we've given ourselves to Him, and we're a stranger, and we're a pilgrim on earth. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is a promise, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'm not for sure where the apostle got all of this. Probably one of the many revelations, but he mentions it in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter also. He said, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel. I believe there's going to be some kind of great noise, a sound. It says, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. There's going to be a sound. There's going to be an awareness. You know, here in Enid they have, what is that, the 12 o'clock whistle? You ever hear that? You're outside working. The 12 o'clock, you can hear it across town. It blows at 12 o'clock. Well, it's lunchtime. There's going to be a great sound, a great trumpet call that's going to sound, and everybody's going to come forth. This is precious to me today. With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to leave this earth. We're going to leave the things of this life. You know, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, the congregation in Thessalonians, they were going through some hardships. They were going through some difficult times. And the Apostle Paul is trying to strengthen them, trying to encourage them, trying to comfort them. When it comes down to us today, thank God for these words, that we have something better and beyond this life and this world. But it's a heavenly country. Brother Cliff Smith was at Monarch one year, and during one of the song services, it was like a vision. He began to see the saints that had gone on, and they were waving to him. Come on, you can make it. You can make it. What an encouragement. I think about my brother-in-law, Philip Gillenbeck. He had a dream that he was in this field, and all of a sudden the Lord was coming back, and he just started rising. Rising up. He was leaving the earth, rising up in his dream to meet the Lord. And Rosie said he sat up in bed and had his hands up like this. Rising up to meet the Lord in the air. There have been other people that have glimpses of heaven, but this is what we're living for today. This is what we desire. This is what we want, is to be able to see the Lord at the end of our life with victory. If the Lord should come back before we pass, or if we leave here before He comes, either way, we want to be ready to meet Him. I believe it this morning with all my heart. I believe that God has prepared a place for us that we can go to. And I believe the Scriptures say there's not going to be any pain.
there's not going to be any sorrow. It said, for the former things are passed away.
Lord, help us
today to follow Him, to follow the Lamb wherever He leads us, to allow Him to work in our hearts and lives, and to be faithful to Him. He loves us. He cares for us. And I know He wants us to make heaven our home.